Upward family, good morning. So great to see all of you today. Aren't you glad to be here? I think everybody's glad to be here this morning. I was back there seeing a few families struggling to find a seat this morning. I'm so sorry you had a hard time finding a seat today. Well, I'm not sorry in a way, but I'm sorry it was a struggle for you to find a seat today. I'm glad that you stuck it out and found a place to sit. This 1015 is growing so much. Can I do a little housekeeping really quick? If you attend the 1015, would you attend another one? That's as blunt as I know how to say that. This service is so incredibly full in here and in the parking spaces, and we love that. And if you want to keep coming to 1015, keep coming to 1015. I do want to tell you, though, there are three other options where we do this service. We start on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We have the same service, the same message, the same worship. You can come on Thursday. You're humoring me now, I know. You could also get up early and come at 8:45. Hallelujah, I got a few takers on that. You know what you can do after 8:45? You can go beat everybody else to lunch. You can have an early lunch. Or you can come at 12:45, or is it 11:45? No, what is it, 11:45? I don't even know, I just keep going. You could come at 11:45, meaning you can sleep late and eat pancakes and still get to church. Wouldn't that be incredible? If you would be interested in joining one of those other services, we would need your help. But it's so good to be here today. Let's welcome our online audience today. We're so glad to have y'all watching from all around the country and other parts of the world. People are watching us forever from all kinds of places. I heard of a neighborhood now where they have a neighborhood watch party. They meet in the middle of the week and invite their friends. They all have dinner like on a Tuesday night and then sit down and watch Upward together. And isn't that exciting to have our online crew with us? We're just thrilled. It's a big day at Upward. We're giving big today. We're going to pay for this parking lot, right? Have you seen the beautiful parking lot that's coming? We're expanding. We're going to pay for that. And we're going to put funds toward our new campus that opens up at West Henderson High School in the fall. Anybody excited about the new campus that's coming? We're going to send about 300 people out to launch a new campus of Upward Christian Fellowship, and I know you're excited about that as we are. God is doing so many wonderful and so many great things. We begin a new series today called Doors of Opportunity, and we're looking in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, at seven letters that Jesus himself sent to seven of the earliest Christian churches in history. Seven letters that Jesus wrote to a church. How many would like to get a letter from Jesus directly? Wouldn't that be awesome? Do you think you could sell it on eBay? If you had a letter signed Jesus Christ, it would bring some money. In fact, I was looking recently at the most expensive letter sold to date, written by a man named Francis Crick. He actually discovered the structure of DNA many years ago, and he wrote about the discovery, a little handwritten letter to his son. That letter auctioned for $6 million, approximately $6 million for one letter. I imagine I could get a shade more than that if I had an authentic signed by Jesus letter. Wouldn't that be incredible? That's what we're looking at over the next 7 weeks. We're looking at seven letters Jesus wrote to seven ancient churches. He wrote them to specific churches with specific good things and specific challenges, but these seven letters were circulated over all the seven churches so all of them could hear what the Holy Spirit through Jesus was saying to the churches. And that is my prayer over the next 7 weeks, Upward. I want us at Upward Christian Fellowship, and I want you to hear what Jesus is saying to us right now. Anybody think the world's a little crazy right now? Anybody think the world is just churning now and things are happening and things are changing like crazy? Some of it's exciting, some of it's scary. I think something's going to happen. And I think things are happening, and we're going to see that everything after 2025 was different from everything before 2025. That's just the feeling I've got in my heart, that things are changing so rapidly that we're quickly walking into a new world. And if we ever needed to hear what Jesus is saying to the church, it's right now. We need to hear what Jesus is saying to Upward Christian Fellowship right now. Well, I'm going to just tell you this, church. Elkhorn's changing in 2025. Launching a new campus, you're going to change this church. There's going to be a lot of new people. There's going to be some new staff. There's going to be a lot of new structure. Things are going to be changing. We need to stay rooted and grounded in the love for God and a love for people. And we need to hear Jesus specifically speaking to us about who we are and who we're called to be and what he wants to do in us. So I'm asking God, speak to us over the next 7 weeks. How many would just say, I want to hear from Jesus over the next 7 weeks. I want to hear his voice into our church. I want to hear his voice into my life. Every one of these letters has one thing that's the same in every one of them. And here it is. This is the end of the first letter. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And here's what it says. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. I want us upward to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here at Upward Christian Fellowship, that we can hear and understand the voice of Jesus. I'd like to begin with a prayer, and I'd like us to ask the Holy Spirit. You remember the little boy Samuel in the Old Testament? Anybody remember? He's a little boy. He's living with Eli, the high priest, and God calls to him in the middle of the night and says, Samuel, and he doesn't even recognize the voice of the Lord. So he goes to Eli, the high priest, and says, what do I do? Eli says, the next time you hear it, it's the Lord, and you need to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's the prayer I want us to pray right now and say, speak, Lord, your church is listening. Speak, Lord, Upward Christian Fellowship wants to hear what you have to say. Would you bow with me for prayer? Jesus, thank you that you're always speaking. May we always be listening. Jesus, we believe we're in a 7 week at least season here where you're going to speak to our hearts. And Jesus, we open our hearts and our minds. Speak words to us, Lord. Lord, speak words that challenge us and stretch us. Speak words that encourage us, Lord. Speak words to where we'll know that we've heard from the God of heaven and we've heard what the Holy Spirit is saying. We open our hearts, we open our minds to whatever you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now we're going to jump into the very first letter, and it's at the church in a powerful ancient city called Ephesus. Now Ephesus was a beautiful city. It was called the crown jewel of the Roman Empire. Next to the city of Rome itself, it was considered to be the most beautiful and most powerful city in the empire. In Ephesus, it was a beautiful city. It was also a pagan city. There was a temple there to the false god Artemis or Diana. And it was a beautiful, ornate temple. Some of the ruins still there today. There was a temple also to the Roman Emperor Domitian. There was a famous library at Ephesus, and you can see the ruins of these places today. So it was a beautiful city. The church at Ephesus was a powerful church. We're going to talk about seven churches. Ephesus was considered the church there to be the mother church of all the other churches. I mean, you listen to Ephesus, it's like a who's who of the early Christian church that came through that church. I've heard pastors bragging before about the important people that came to their church. You could not top the list of people at the church at Ephesus. Number one, it was started by the Apostle Paul himself. He led the church in person for about 3 years. Talk about a celebrity pastor, that's him right there. Maybe not in our modern sense of the word, but he was well known all over the church. When he went other places, he handed the church leadership off to a young man named Timothy, and Timothy was the pastor of the church. Anybody think we got a pretty good group of pastors starting out right there? If you know your Bible, you'll know those are pretty important people. Later on, the church got an older pastor, it's believed. They got an older pastor. What would you think if you came to Upward one day and we got a new pastor and it's an old man? I know churches today, I deal and help churches find pastors, and they all want really young pastors. I've come to learn that I better stay here because all the churches want somebody really young. That's not me anymore, so you're stuck with me. I'm staying. You got the old guy. That's right. Thank you, Wayne. Church at Ephesus got an older pastor. People probably came to church wondering, who's this old guy? The old guy gets up in the pulpit, and he's fairly old, and he preaches a really short sermon. This man was known for his short sermons. He would get up in the pulpit, look out at the congregation, and just say this, "Little children, love one another." That was his sermon. Asked around, said, "Who is that old guy? Has he got any experience?" Well, he was at the Last Supper. Well, he was actually at the cross when Jesus died. His name is John, the Apostle John, who Jesus loved, pastored the church at Ephesus. How many would say, "Let's vote for him. I want him. He's got great experience." Might have said as well, "Who's the older lady that's with him? Is that his mother?" Well, not exactly. That's a lady that he's caring for until she dies. What's her name? Mary. Mary who? Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think we'll take her in the church too. You think she got a unanimous vote of the church membership that she could be a part of the church too? Ephesus was a powerful church that had a whole lot of good things going on. I think you're going to see that some of the good things about Ephesus are also good things at Upward Christian Fellowship right now. In all these letters, there are basically three things. There's a commendation, there's a correction, and then there's an invitation. That's why we call this series Doors. There's an invitation to step through a door in all of these. But it starts with a commendation, the things you're doing right. It leads to a correction. Here's where you need to work and improve. Then it leads to an invitation. Here's what's going to happen when you listen to me and do my will. Let's start with the good news. You ready? Let's jump down to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. Jesus says this, verse 2, "I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance." The first thing Jesus commends the church at Ephesus for, he says, "You work hard." I love that. I love hard work. I love hard work. Good things get accomplished when people work hard. Very little gets accomplished laying around on your couch eating Cheetos watching reels. Hard work is a good thing. Hard work is a good thing in church. And Upward, I think Jesus would look at you and say, "You work hard." I think he'd look at our staff and say, "You work hard." You guys are making it easy to preach up here this morning. I think he'd look at our staff and say, "You work hard." It's hard work to do four services a weekend starting on Thursday. It's hard work to turn it around from Sunday afternoon and be ready to roll again Thursday night at 7. I'm not whining. We love to work hard or we wouldn't be here. I'd be bored to death if I didn't have hard work to do. I love it, but it's hard work doing ministry. I love it when y'all come and give me those jokes about, "You only work on Sunday, preacher." I just love that. Keep them coming. Let me tell you what's happening inside of me. I'm like, ha, 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 and this at the same time. You're testing my sanctification with your jokes. Ministry's hard work. I love the hard work of our volunteers. You know, beyond a tremendous staff, we have an army of volunteers that work to make this church go around every week. We got people out in the parking lot. Do you love the parking lot folks out there today especially who are out there working so hard? You know, people decide if they're coming back or not when they're in the parking lot. Sometimes they don't even wait to get in here. Parking lot team's doing great. Children's ministry's up there doing great. Cafe workers out there, the greeters, the deacons. It takes so much work to make something like this go on. And I'm so thankful for hard workers. Work is a blessing. It's not a curse. Do you understand that? Being able to work is wonderful. By the way, if you're not serving somewhere at Upward, you're missing the mark. You don't even have to say amen today. I'm just don't even worry about saying amen. You're not going to anyway. So I'm just going to go ahead with this. I'm going to have a good time. I love this message whether you do or not. So I'm really going to be happy today when it's all done. You weren't called to Upward Christian Fellowship to sit on a chair. You were called to Upward Christian Fellowship to serve. God didn't bring you here to sit. He brought you here to do something. Anybody can sit. If you're not serving somewhere, plug in. Say, "Do you need more servants?" Oh my goodness, we're multiplying a whole other campus. We need double what we got now to go over there and launch this over there. Jump in and serve. Jesus honors hard work. Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, you work hard. Then he said this, Revelation 2:2, the second part. He said, I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles but are not. You've discovered they are liars. Second thing Jesus would say to the church at Ephesus is, first of all, you work hard. Second of all, you don't compromise. We'll tell you, Ephesus was surrounded by society that was over the cliff in moral decay. As you look around in our world today, we have some significant challenges in society and in culture. There is compromise in the culture today. There is a culture in many parts of our country and community that wants to untie itself from any semblance of truth. There's a culture there today that wants to say, whatever I feel and whatever I think, that's my truth, and you can have your truth and I can have my truth. Let me tell you what, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. There's not a truth, there's the truth. Amen. Come on, church. And there is no such thing as my truth and your truth. There may be your experience and my experience, I'll grant you that. There may be your perspective and my perspective, but underneath it all, there is one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if we untie from truth, we're headed nowhere, we're going nowhere, we're not a church anymore. Paul told her, or John told through Jesus, told through John, the church at Ephesus, you don't compromise. You've dealt with moral issues. You've helped people get out of sin. You don't wink at sin. You heal it. He said also, you don't let compromise into your leadership. You've tested people who came along proclaiming themselves apostles, and you found them to be liars. Anytime people come to Upward leading with a title, caution lights go off in my head. Well, I'm such and such, and I've come from here, and I'm going to tell y'all how it's to be done. Nope, no, you're not. The Last Supper, Jesus didn't take a title. He took a towel, and he washed people's feet. So anyone leading with a title, you better be cautious about. And Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, not only do you work hard, you don't compromise. And I'm going to tell you this, Upward's growing. More and more people are coming. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to stay tied to the Word of God. It's going to be our foundation. It's going to be our message. And it's going to be our message as long as Jesus lets us be here. We're not going to get our messages off the news. We're not going to get our messages out of the culture. We're not going to get our messages just on what's popular. We're staying to the Word of God, and we're going to stay true to it as long as God lets us minister. We're going to work hard. We're not going to compromise. I'm being asked all the time to bend. I'm being asked all the time to comment. I'm being asked all the time, all kind of things like this, pressured at times to compromise. We're not compromising, church. We're not giving up, church. We're standing for what the Word says. So Jesus said, you work hard, you don't compromise. If you think we live, I'm not done yet. If you think we live in a compromised society, let me tell you what was going on at Ephesus. They had temples down the road from their church with prostitutes on staff. And that's how you worshiped. Instead of coming in something pure and holy and uplifting, worship was degrading. And the church at Ephesus stood for truth in the midst of a city like that. We can stand for truth in our city. You work hard, you don't compromise. Thirdly, he said, you don't quit. I love that. You just don't quit. You don't give up. I love the quote I read this week. It said, if you're pointed in the right direction, all you have to do is keep walking. I love that. Make sure you're pointed in the right direction, and that is you're following Jesus. And just keep walking one step at a time. Amen? You may not take great leaps, but one step at a time, you'll keep moving toward the right destination. There are many opportunities to quit, and the church at Ephesus had many opportunities to quit. But Jesus simply said this, you've patiently suffered for me without quitting. You haven't given up. I love it. He commends them. You work hard, and upward you've worked hard. You don't compromise, and upward we haven't compromised. And he says, you don't quit. Upward, you haven't quit. We're a lot like the church at Ephesus. And I commend you for your work, for your stand, and for your determination. Jesus goes on after the commendation to bring a word of correction to them. And I think it's a powerful word for us today. He said this, verse 4. He said, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. He says, church at Ephesus, you're working hard, you're standing for truth, you're determined, but you don't love me or people like you used to. You got so many good things going for you. It's busy at Ephesus. There's something on the calendar every night, and it's busy with good things. You're standing up for what you believe, and you're determined to do it, yet somehow in the midst, in being a hard-working, busy church that's doing so much, you've lost your first love for Jesus, and you've lost your first love for the people around you. I'm going to tell you, that's something you can lose without realizing it. You can grow so big and get so busy and be doing so much that you forget the point of it all is to simply love Jesus with all your heart and to love people one person at a time. Upward, may we never just grow large and have small hearts. As the church is growing, may our passion for Jesus and our love for people grow right along with it. I want you to hear what God's saying to us today. Upward, remember why you started this in the first place. Remember your wonderful love for me, and remember your love for people. I'm gonna tell you, folks, it's so easy to lose the feeling of love. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's easy to lose the feeling of love. When once you were passionate and just on fire, and now it's kind of like, okay, here we go again, another day. It's easy to lose a passion for God. When I first came to Jesus, I was 19 years old when I first really came to Jesus, and I could not read enough of the Bible. I read the Bible through really fast, and I just couldn't get enough of the Bible. I soaked in it and immersed. You know, there have been dry seasons in my ministry when the Bible started turning into work. I open the Bible and it's like, yeah, here we go. Got to get another sermon for Sunday. And it just became drudgery. Some of that's just the human condition. There are times that we're just more motivated than others. There's times we struggle. There's times even in marriage when you don't feel what you used to feel. Nobody's going to say amen to that. You get beat up here this morning. People come to me sometimes and say, I just don't feel what I used to feel. I want to recapture what we had when we were dating. I tell them all the time, dating and marriage are two different things. And it's so easy in the moment of marriage, right? When you were dating, you didn't have a house payment. You're dating, you didn't have all these kids. It's what led to all these kids. But now you got them. And they'll test you as much as you love them. You're dating, you didn't have all the pressure. Just going out to eat, having a good time. How do we get it back? How do we get back to the place? I'll tell you something else. It's easy to lose your love for people. It's just easy to write people off and say, I'm not doing this anymore. I know I've had experience in ministry where I could just start hating people. I've had people who were friends, you know, who were in the church and friends and close friends and, you know, spent a lot of time together and people you invest your life in. And then one day they just disappear with no explanation and they're gone. I'll tell you, that hurts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It may not be in ministry, but you've experienced that. There are times that I want to say, okay, I'm going to get up there and do my job, but I just don't care anymore, and I just don't want to give my heart out to people anymore, and I'm just going to treat this as a job, and I'm not going to let anybody get in my heart anymore. And that lasts about a day. You know how it lasts about a day? Because I talk to Jesus every day, and he will not let me get away with that. He calls me right back to loving people again. But it's so easy to just lose your love for Jesus and for people. And God says, church, as you're busy, church, as you're standing for truth, church, as you're persevering and moving forward, remember your first love. Say, preacher, how do I get the love back? How do I get the passion back? Jesus gives us three words, and I'm going to move through them quickly. You ready? Remember, repent, and repeat. Say it with me. Remember, repent, and repeat. One more time. Remember, repent, and repeat. The first word he says is remember. Remember how you used to love. Remember how you used to act. Remember how it was simply in the day that you started serving God and you started serving people. Remember how that was. You know, Upward, we need to sometimes just look back and remember where God's brought us from. Today, we're giving a huge offering today. Do you know that? We're giving a huge offering today. We've asked everybody to give your very best today. We're going to put it all towards that expansion fund, toward finishing this parking lot and moving out to this new campus. But, oh, I remember the days when we gave joyfully, when we didn't take up in a year what we'll take up today. We were not able to give in a year what we'll give today. And you know what? I remember the joy we had. 1 year, about 1998, our annual receipts went over $100,000. And we celebrated like it's the biggest thing that ever happened, because it was the biggest thing that ever happened to us. We didn't start this size. We started really small. And I remember the joy of saying, we're able to give this to the Lord this year. I remember we serve all the time now and are generous everywhere. I'm telling you how fun it is to pastor Upward Christian Fellowship. People come to me and say, thank you for what the church did. And I'm like, what did we do? Because y'all are doing so much in generosity out there that I don't even hear from it. As the leader of the organization, I don't even know it's happening sometimes. And people will thank me for it, because generosity is just spreading everywhere. It's organic in the culture right now. But I remember years ago when we were launching this kind of thing, we just went to the Apple Festival and we just handed out free bottles of water to people. And we didn't even have the money for the water a lot of times. We'd hand out bottles and other people would see us giving it away for free, and a pickup truck load of water would come and we'd just keep giving out more. And I remember just the look on people's faces when we said, here's something for free. 1 year we decided to give out free hot dogs at an event in Henderson County. Oh, we had so much fun giving out free hot dogs. Had an atheist come up to me. He said, can an atheist eat one of your hot dogs? I told him without batting an eye, I said, if an atheist can eat a Pentecostal hot dog, we'll give you one. Just be careful with it. This will rock your world. He ate it anyway. I never knew what happened. He's probably some crazy Pentecostal this morning, probably. The bad thing about that day is a church about three doors down from us was selling hot dogs for their fundraiser. We absolutely crushed their fundraiser. And we said, we're never doing that again. If we do it, we're going to do it some other place so they can raise their money as they need to. But you know, folks, God says, remember the early days when you had such joy in just giving a bottle of water or a hot dog to people, and never lose the genuine heart you had in the early days. Remember your first love. Remember when you opened your Bible and just loved to meet with Jesus, and you treasured that time not based on a ministry or a sermon prep or a devotion prep, only based on the fact that you just wanted to be with Jesus. Upward, we can never lose that. Jesus wants you so in love with him that you get up in the morning and you want to be with him. The first word remember. The second word is repent. Turn back to me. Revelation 2:5 is remember. Look how far you've fallen. Repent, verse 5, turn back to me. Repentance is simply this, realizing where you've come from and realizing the love is not burning as brightly in your heart as it once did, and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I want my first love back. The last word is repeat, and I love this part so much. Here's the verse for repeat. Turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. You know why I love this so much? So many people think love is a feeling, and it's not. It's an action. So many people think love is a feeling, and it's not. It's an action. So many people think love is a feeling, and it's not. It's an action. Yeah, I'll wear you out. Man, love in Hollywood is so stupid. The stupidest definition. You had me at hello. That's stupid. I hate that movie. I hate that movie. It's the worst. You complete me. That's the biggest lie that's destroyed more marriages in the culture. You complete me. Give me a break. There's nobody can complete you but Jesus. Your spouse is not the Messiah. I know you knew that already. Just stupid. I had grandparents, Sam and Marie. Sam and Marie were so precious. They never had a whole lot in life, but what they had, they loved. And they loved and served each other. They fought sometimes. And they were just plain old, good old salt of the earth people. I choose Sam and Marie over Kim and Kanye. I do. I'm not knocking anybody else. You can have all the Instagram celebrity love you want. I want love that acts before it feels. Feeling follows action. Action seldom follows feeling. I told you I love this message, and I've got all day long. I got a whole nother troop coming in here in just a minute. If y'all don't like it, we'll just get you out of here and get another crowd in. I did not mean that, as ugly as it sounded. I'm just being sarcastic this morning. Forgive me. If you're waiting on feeling to do something, you're going to wait a long time. If you wait to exercise till you feel like it, you're not going to be consistent. So let me tell you now. But if you just say, get up and say, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it because it's the right thing, you'll feel better afterwards. Amen. If you wait to love God and love people and love your spouse till you feel it, you're not going to do it. You got to do it, then you feel it. Love's simply sometimes obedience. Guy came to his pastor. He said, I don't love my wife anymore. What do I do? Pastor said, repent. I can't help it, Pastor. I just don't love her anymore. For him, love is this magical fairy that just lights on you one day, and then it can just magically disappear, and we've fallen out of love. I hate that word, too. Fell in love. You don't trip and fall into something. When you fall, that's a bad thing, right? Fell in. Oh, here I am. I'm stuck in this hole now. And one day, it may just magically go away, and I don't love her anymore, and now I can just walk away because emotions have left. Baloney. Being rebellious. Now, let me tell you, I never tell anybody to stay in an abusive marriage. If you've been hit, get out tomorrow, get out today, and don't go back till they change. I'm not one of these guys who stay somewhere and get beat up. But just because an emotion is disrupted, you don't have a license to walk away. Said, Pastor, I don't love my wife anymore. The pastor said, repent. He said, why? He said, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. He said, Pastor, you don't understand. She hates me, and I hate her. He said, the Bible says, love your enemies. He said, Pastor, you don't even understand. She doesn't even sleep with me anymore. She's moved to a bedroom down the hall. He said, the Bible says, love your neighbor. Any further questions? You know what Jesus says? Go back and do what you did at first. Stop waiting on a feeling. Go do it. You don't love people, fine. Go love them in your actions, and you watch the feeling come back. You're having trouble with your spouse, make up your mind you're going to love them with everything that's within you. And if they make up their mind to the same thing, your marriage is going up. Do the actions you did when you first fell in love with Jesus. He simply says, do the works you did at first. Amen. Remember, repent, repeat. Here's the kicker of it all. Jesus says at the end, and this is a challenge. He said, if you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. That does not sound like a good thing. Is Jesus saying he's going to kill the church? I believe this. He said early on, I skipped over it, he holds the stars in his right hand and he walks among the seven candlesticks. I believe the candlesticks represent the church's witness to the world. And Jesus is saying, I walk among you in your witness to the world. But he says this, if you don't repent and you don't come back to the simple love for me and for people, your light will go out and my presence will no longer be there. We'll challenge you upward. God is not going to give his power for us to just build a mega church. Jesus didn't die for us to be the biggest thing in town. Jesus didn't die for me to try to be a celebrity pastor. Good luck with that. Nerds don't make good celebrity pastors, so I'm not in a good position anyway. But Jesus didn't die for us to build something so people could say, look it upward. He died so that our love for him could burn bright. And his light could shine out of us in love for this community so that people's lives would be changed one day at a time. Church, I want to tell you this. Without love, we have no light. Jesus can move right out of some churches and the organization rolls on, but they're not a church anymore because they quit loving God and they quit loving people and they made it about them. We're not doing that. Had a man come years ago to our church, and I'm closing. We were over on Washington Street at the time. If any of y'all have ever been to the Hendersonville Theater on Washington Street, that's where we were for a long, long time, a little rock building. And a man came. He was an African-American guy. And he came, and, oh, he's the greatest guy. We loved him. He loved us. Jesus is the way to heal racism, by the way. People just need to come to Jesus. Amen. He came in and he said, Pastor, I love being here, love this church, love the way you love me. And I said, well, that's the way it is in Jesus' church. He said, not everywhere. So what are you talking about? And he told me. He said he went to another church right here in Henderson County. This has been 20 years ago at least. And he said, I went in there and he said, I love the preaching and I love the service. He said, but at the end of the service, one of the leaders of the church approached me in the lobby and he said, nice to meet you. But he said, you need to find a church with your kind of people. You know, I said to that man right then, it came out of my mouth of what I'm thinking. I said, buddy, that wasn't a church. That wasn't a church. That wasn't no more a church than a bar is. May have had a steeple on top, and they may have had pews in it and a pulpit. I'm going to tell you, Jesus has taken his light out of that church a long time ago. If you don't love God sincerely out of your heart and you don't love people, you cease being Jesus' church and you're just an organization. I would that God would challenge Upward Christian Fellowship today to say, you're growing, I'm blessing you, you're working hard, you're not compromising, you're not quitting, but don't forget the love that started it all. Amen? Remember Upward. Repent Upward. And repeat upward. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for precious people all over this congregation. Thank you, God, for the love of Jesus. God, restore our first love. As we repent and do the first acts, as we repent and do what we were called to do and what we did when we loved, God, feelings will follow action. Thank you for that. Thank you for your word today. Heads bowed, eyes closed across the sanctuary, please. For those watching online, we invite you into this moment with us. We're not going to embarrass anybody. I'm going to ask you today, how many here today would lift a hand and say, Pastor, I'm saying yes to Jesus today. Can I see your hands? I'm saying yes to Jesus today. God bless you. God bless y'all. See some hands. It's just awesome. 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 I want to pray right now for those saying yes to Jesus. Would you pray this prayer with me? And the church is going to help us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, for dying on the cross for my sin. Forgive me, Lord. I turn to you. I surrender my life to you. And from this day forward, I follow you. I'm a new person with a new heart and a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet and just celebrate that big right now? Come on, celebrate that big. I think two people said yes to Jesus. I think we've had four or five this morning say yes to Jesus already and got one more service to go. Isn't that awesome? We want to pray for you this morning. Josiah's going to come and he's going to lead us in a worship song today, our last worship song of the day. I'm going to come back and bless you here at the end, but we would love to pray for you right now. If there's anything going on in your life we can pray for you about, you need encouragement, you need healing. We believe Jesus heals sick people. We believe that with all our hearts. If you're sick, come on, let us pray for you this morning. Whatever's going on, as Josiah leads us, let's pray. Come on.